Hello, everyone, and welcome to
Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig.
That was the voice of Craig, and I am Reza. This is episode 124, which is How Not to Repeat Yourself in English. Let me say that again. Episode 124, How Not to Repeat Yourself in English.
Don't repeat yourself in English. Avoiding repetition. For example, not saying thank you, thank you, thank you all the time, but using different words and different expressions to say the same thing.
I believe we have an announcement from Monica Stocker from El Blog para Aprender Inglés coming up at the end of this podcast.
That's right, Reza. We've got a special announcement from Monica about something very, very interesting that she's doing at the moment, but we'll keep you in suspense. We'll make you wait until the end of the episode until we get a short voice message from Monica. So you have to stay to the end of the episode to hear from Monica this week.
But let's start by playing you some very nice listener feedback from Francisco Espinola from Granada, who recently passed his first certificate exam, and he leaves this voice message.
Hi Reza, hi Craig. This is Francisco from Granada. I have recently passed the FCE exam with very good results, and I would like to say thank you to you. I have listened to all your podcasts before the exam, and they were incredibly useful to me. So I am recommending them to my friends in order to pass the exam as well. In conclusion, thank you for your great and generous work. Please carry on podcasting in that nice way. A big hug from Granada. Goodbye.
Thank you, Francisco. That's wonderful news. Congratulations. And wonderful pronunciation. One mistake. Did you hear any mistakes with his message?
Very, very, very good. Much better than the average pronunciation for a first certificate. Very good, Francisco.
Better than my pronunciation, actually. Excellent. Well done. So I hope you're continuing now on to CAE, to the advanced level, because I think you're very well placed with your level now to continue studying for a higher qualification. So keep studying English and keep listening to us. We have some iTunes reviews thank yous to say, because during the summer, people have been listening to the podcast, people have been writing reviews and giving us stars and recommendations on iTunes, and we want to thank you because it really, really helps to make this podcast more available. When it rises in iTunes, more people notice the podcast and we increase our audience. So a big thank you to Chuspo from Spain, Menek Kane from Mexico, RRG01, also from Mexico, Sidi Hus from Spain, who says it's the best podcast I've ever heard, and you are a perfect couple doing that. Everything flows so perfect and easy. So,
thank you.
Thank you for that comment. M. Correa, 2004, from Spain, and Alvaro Scali, also from Spain. Thank you, all of you, for leaving your lovely comments and your ratings on iTunes during the summer.
We also have a comment on the website from Rafael. He writes, "Hello, Rez and Craig. Very interesting, this episode, speaking about drugs." That was episode 118.
Yes, and we'll leave a link, un enlace, we'll leave a link to the episode in the show notes at inglespodcast.com/124.
He writes, "Me ha gustado mucho todo lo que comentáis. Lo ha hecho, como siempre, muy bien." Thank you. And he says, "Habláis de las adicciones en las que se toman algunas sustancias químicas, pero habéis pasado por alto una adicción muy potente que es la ludopatía."
What's that?
Ludopatía. O la afición por el juego.
Sea
cartas, lotería, las máquinas tragaperas. In other words, addiction to slot machines, fruit machines, one-armed bandits, or cards, poker, so all of that. Gambling.
Tragaperas are slot machines, right?
Yeah, that's
I didn't know that word.
Oh, yeah, tragaperas. That's right.
So, like a fruit machine, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny, isn't it?
I like it. Draga perras.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, in other words, people who are addicted to gambling, people who gamble, G-A-M-B-L-E. You're quite right. Yeah, that's another addiction, and we didn't really talk about it. He goes on to say, muchas personas se enganchan sin tomar ninguna droga. Mm-hmm. Es curioso cómo la química del cerebro crea sus propias sustancias para que la gente quede muy enganchada de personas que lo han perdido todo sin tomar absolutamente ninguna sustancia química. También he recordado una canción de John Lennon que se llamaba Cold Turkey. Ahora ya sé lo que significaba el mono. That's right, we talked about cold turkey, el mono, when you give up drugs. Saludos, Rafael. Rafael, very good point. Yep, of course, gambling is another addiction. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to actually take anything internally to be addicted to gambling. That's a very interesting comment.
Do you know any gamblers who are addicted?
No, but I wouldn't say addicted, but both of my brothers would gamble every week.
What do they gamble on?
Horses.
Horses.
Yeah. It's very common, of course, in Britain and Ireland, much more common than perhaps some other countries, to bet, mm-hmm. apostar, gamble, money on horses. It's an old tradition which goes back centuries.
Horses and dogs. I remember my cousin used to go to the dog track in London and bet on dogs every week.
Yeah. What about you? Are you a betting man? Do you like to gamble, Craig?
I've never seen the point, to be honest. I've never seen the attraction in betting, mm-hmm. although my parents went through a phase for about 7 or 8 years of going to casinos. And I mm-hmm. think they were, at some stage, addicted to casinos. They would spend a lot of money gambling on roulette and cards in casinos in London. And I think for a while it was a serious problem. But they managed to escape, so they don't do that anymore.
Now, I don't frequent bingo halls or betting shops myself, but I've noticed in Belfast something very curious. In Belfast, the signs outside warning you that only adults can go into such places because children aren't permitted are written in English, obviously. Mm-hmm. And one other language, can you guess what?
It's got to be either Chinese or Arabic.
It's Chinese.
Yeah.
Because so many Chinese people are very into, that means they really enjoy gambling, that they've had to write it in Chinese.
And is there a big Chinese population in Belfast?
Huge. Yeah. But I believe that most gambling halls around the UK have things written in Chinese because the Chinese as a race are really keen on gambling, which, by the way, is illegal in China.
Is it?
Except in Macau.
So that's why when they come to Europe, they're very keen on gambling in betting offices and betting shops and places.
Isn't it curious?
That makes a lot of sense. So thank you, Rafael, for your email. Very interesting. And if you would like to hear that episode in which Reza and I speak about drugs and addiction, it's episode 118. So inglespodcast.com/118. One thing that if you're struggling, which means trying hard with little success to understand this podcast, one thing you can do to improve your listening is to go to our Descarga website, Nuestra Tienda de Descargas, at store.mansioningles.net, because we have courses that will improve your listening at very low cost. So if you find this podcast difficult, go to mansioningles.net and download some courses at a lower level. Continuing with a voice message from Elisa from Finland, who says she hates dependent prepositions. Let's listen to Elisa.
Hi there. Hey, this is a quick message to say hello to you from Finland. So, hello, Reza, and hello, Craig. How are you? I hope your summer's been fantastic and you're ready to continue doing these excellent episodes, aren't you? So, yeah, and how about here? Yeah, I love my T-shirt. I love to be dependent, but to be honest, I hate dependent prepositions. And I listen to you every week, and that's it. As you know, time flies, but the show must go on. Take care. Bye-bye.
Time flies, says Alisa. The show must go on. What do you think?
Yes, you're quite right, Alisa. And we're sorry. We hope you haven't got fed up with dependent prepositions.
I hope we didn't depress you with our dependent prepositions.
Yeah, but don't get obsessed with them either, you know. They're not that bad. You'll eventually master them through practice. You will. You will. Believe us. Thanks very much for your message.
Yeah, thanks, Alisa. It's always nice to hear from you.
We have a little bit more feedback now from Javier from Tolosa in Guipúzcoa. He says, one question, please. What do you wear for work, usually as a habit? You always say that after a preposition goes ing, then I don't understand, he writes. For work? Why is it not for working? Or what do you wear to work? Thanks for helping. A hug from Javier.
I think he's referring to episode 119, when we were speaking about getting dressed and undressed. So that's inglespodcast.com/119. And it's not a very complicated explanation, I don't think, because it's the difference between work as a verb and work as a noun, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it, Javier. Yes, if you have a verb after a preposition, it must be ing form. Yeah, we would repeat that. But you can have a noun or a pronoun after a preposition as well. So when you say, what do you wear for work? The word work there is actually a noun. It's not a verb. So you don't have to say working. It's for plus a noun.
So you could say, what do you wear for school?
Right.
And school is the noun.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You can also say to work, by the way, as a preposition to. What do you wear to work? That means preposition when you're going to work. So it's no mystery, really, Javier. So preposition plus noun is just as good as preposition plus ing verb.
But remember, after a preposition, the verb is always a gerund. Next, we have a voice message from David Martinez, who comes from Alcoy. And David speaks about the FCE for September. So here's David.
Hello, Russ and Greg. It is David from Alcoy. And I just would like to tell you that I discovered your podcast in April and I found it really, really interesting. And I'm listening almost every day because now I'm preparing my FCA exam. And I will go on 23rd of September. And I have to tell you that especially I found it really interesting on last three episodes where you were talking about dependent prepositions, that it's helping to me a lot on such kind of exercise where you have to fill in gaps the missing word. So just I would like to tell you thank you and keep working like this. Bye, guys.
Thank you very much, David, from Alcoy. By the way, very nice place, Alcoy. I've been there a few times.
Nice chocolate in Alcoy. Lovely
nice,
cakes.
Famous, isn't it? Yeah. So, David, keep practicing for the exam. I hope it goes well. However, we have to correct your pronunciation. FCE exam. You actually said FCA. Be careful. ABCDE, FCE exam. And another thing, it's funny, it's kind of ironic. You were talking about dependent prepositions and you made a mistake concerning dependent prepositions. You said, it helps to me. It helps me. There is no dependent preposition with help. It helps me.
Helps me.
No, yeah. Two. But very well done. Your pronunciation on the whole was very good and very clear. Keep up the good work.
Yep. And we are happy that this podcast helps you to improve your English. That's difficult. It helps you to improve. So it helps plus object plus infinitive. And I think you've already taken the exam because I think you said the 23rd of September. So we hope you were successful. Obviously, you don't have your result yet, but we really, really hope that it went well for you. And please let us know when you get the result of your FCE exam. And if anybody's listening who is about to take their FCE exam, who's going to take their FCE exam soon, just one or two recommended websites that may help you with your practice for the exam and your revision. One that I think is very good is flojoe.com, FLO-JOE.com. That's very good for use of English and reading practice and listening practice. And Exam English is very good for listening, examenglish.com. And Cambridge English TV on YouTube will give you examples of the speaking test. That's Cambridge English TV. All of these links will be in the show notes for this episode at inglespodcast.com/124. And we also have our Mansion Ingles 60-hour FCE course, which you can buy at mansioningles.com. And there'll be a link to that also in the show notes. Now, sometimes when you speak English, you learn one expression, one collocation, and you keep using the same thing. I think it's useful to explain different ways of saying the same thing so that you don't keep repeating yourself. For example, if you're speaking English with someone and you don't understand or you don't hear what the person's saying, you can say, "Can you repeat that, please?" Now, that's the kind of expression you learn in a course book. That's the kind of expression your teacher will teach you. Can you repeat that, please? But Reza, there are other ways of saying the same thing if you don't hear or if you want repetition. How else could you say that?
Well, we often use the word sorry. People say sorry. They mean, can you repeat that, please? They're not apologizing. That's one use of sorry. Oh, I did something bad. I'm sorry. But also, sorry means that you want someone to repeat. Or you could add something like, sorry, I didn't get that. Or, sorry, I didn't catch that. That means I didn't hear what you said. Or sorry, what was that you said?
And be careful of the intonation, because if you only use sorry for repetition, you need to have rising intonation. So it would be, sorry, sorry. And that means, can you repeat it? Can you say it again? But if there's something after sorry, you wouldn't have such rising intonation. You'd say, sorry, I didn't catch that. Sorry, I didn't get that.
Yeah, don't use the wrong intonation, because if you say, sorry, that's entirely different. That then you're apologizing.
That sounds sarcastic.
When you did something bad, sorry.
Sorry.
So yeah. It's definitely sorry.
Sorry? Sorry?
Or, I'm afraid I don't follow. Or, come again?
Which of those is more formal? I'm afraid I don't follow or come again?
I'm afraid I don't follow is definitely more formal, I would say.
I think anything with I'm afraid before is more formal. I'm afraid I didn't quite catch that. I'm afraid I didn't hear you. I'm afraid I don't follow you. I'm afraid I don't understand you. It's a very polite way of asking for repetition. Come again is quite informal, quite colloquial. And again, rising intonation, the same as sorry. Come again? Come again?
Craig, another area where there's more than one way to say the same thing is to say hello or how are you. Can you think of any other alternatives for hello or how are you?
For greeting someone when you see them, yeah. You could say, all right, which is very British, I think, and very colloquial. I'm not sure if you'd use that in Belfast, but growing up in London, that was the accepted way of greeting someone. Just say, all right, with rising intonation, which means, how are you? Good to see you.
We do use it in Belfast as well, but I've noticed that it's more common in the kind of London area. It's very common there.
Yeah.
And at first I was a bit surprised by the pronunciation of it there. Some people might go, what?
What? Yeah.
They don't say it very clearly. Oh, what? And they're actually saying, all right.
Come la palabra totalmente. Oi. Oi.
That's very London, isn't it? A very London thing to do.
Another informal common expression is what's up, which the pronunciation is not the same as you'd write it. You write it what's up, but the pronunciation would be more what's up? What's up? Or how's it going? How's it going?
Or maybe how are you doing? Mm-hmm. Or how are things?
Again, how are you doing? The pronunciation would be how are you? How are you doing? The words come together in one sound. How are you doing? How are you doing?
You know, what's very common in Belfast, but I'm sure you never hear it in London, is I'll do it the Belfast way. See if you understand me. Budgie.
Again?
Mm-hmm. Budgie.
I have no idea what you just said.
It's very common in Belfast. It's a shortened version of how about you?
Really?
But how we get rid of about becomes bout and you, yeah. So, about you.
About you. About you.
Very common in Belfast.
And that means how are you?
Yeah. How about you? How are you doing? How are you?
About you. How are you doing?
Some people, you know, meet you in the street and go, about you. You see, Craig's an English speaker, an English teacher, and he finds it quite hard to understand that.
I would never say that. I would not understand it if someone said that to me. So there is hope for you if you're finding this pronunciation difficult. These expressions are very, very colloquial and they're very, very local, depending on where your local dialect is in the UK.
We're talking about the same country, eh? Even within the same country, there are such incredible regional variations. Do you remember in the last episode we were asked about slang and accents? In the north of England, people might say, hey up. Mm-hmm. It's a very informal way of saying, how are you? Hey up.
Yeah.
A-E-H, up. Hey up.
Which will be the northern equivalent of, all right.
Or another version of what's up kind of is, whatcha?
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 Yeah. Whatcha?
What you? But it comes out as whatcha.
And going back to the last one we had for hello, which is how are things? How are comes together in pronunciation, so it would be how are. How are things? And remember the rising intonation, so how are things? ¿Cómo estás? How are things? We'd like to say a few words about our sponsor, Italki. As our regular listeners will probably know by now, Italki have very effective one-to-one personal teaching, which means you simply go to the Italki website, you find a teacher that's right for you, and you study with your personal teacher one-to-one on Skype at very low cost. Reza and I have both tried their service. We're very happy and proud to recommend them. And we think that if you find it difficult to get to a language school, if you can't afford the prices of some local academies in your area, but you need extra tuition and a one-to-one teacher, we think it's a very good way to improve your English. And Italki are offering a free lesson to anyone who signs up through our website. So if you'd like more information, go to inglespodcast.com/Italki, Italki. And Reza and I would like to say thank you to Italki for sponsoring Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig. What about thank you, saying thank you to people?
Well, there's the most obvious short form, thanks. Mm-hmm. But there are others, Craig. There are certainly others. Can you think of a few?
In London, I'd say cheers, which, if you remember, we've mentioned before, when you're touching glasses and drinking alcohol, if you're in a pub, you could say cheers, which is salud, good health. But I would also use it to say thank you to another Londoner. So if somebody gave me something, I say, oh, cheers. Thank you very much. Cheers. Any others?
You could say many thanks, mm-hmm, or much appreciated. I owe you one.
I owe you one would be like I owe you a favor.
Yeah, a favor. You've done something good for me.
So I owe you one. Te debo algo. Te debo uno. Yeah. Thanks a bunch. Thanks a bunch means thanks a lot. Any local fast expressions for thank you?
Not that I can think of, but thanks gets pronounced very often a certain way in Belfast, which is quite funny. If you imagine there's no T, so the first letter is H. I used to do it myself a lot, but I've dropped it since I spent a lot of time abroad. So people will say, thanks. Imagine there's no T.
Do you know
thanks.
What? But that's why is that surprising to me? Because in Ireland, you drop the H and say thanks.
Thanks, yeah. In the south of Ireland, people say thanks.
Thanks.
But in Belfast, we kind of say Hanks. But we don't stress this, but it comes out Hanks.
Like Tom Hanks.
Yeah, strange, yeah.
Another way of widening your vocabulary, varying your language and not repeating will be to use different adjectives. For example, if something is very, very, very good, you could say that it's amazing.
Fantastic.
Fantastic or unbelievable.
Wonderful.
Awesome.
Out of this world. However, be careful because you can very quickly become outdated with these adjectives. They change a lot. So a few years ago, awesome, particularly in America, awesome, man, that's awesome, was very in fashion. But soon these things go out of fashion. So they start off being really popular, but kind of 10 years later, people stop saying them. And if you continue to say them, people think, oh, he's so old fashioned. He's still saying awesome or way out, man, or things like that. You begin to sound old fashioned if you don't keep up with the times.
I think awesome is still quite common in America, but I don't think in Britain they use wicked anymore. Wicked used to be used for fantastic, but I haven't heard it for many years. What about synonyms for very, very, very bad, the opposite?
Terrible.
Think of any of those? That's terrible. That's awful.
Horrible.
That's disgusting, perhaps. Asqueroso.
What about other ways to say you're sorry? To say I'm sorry?
Well, depending how sorry you are, you could put a quantifier before sorry. So you could say, I'm really sorry. Or I'm really, really sorry. Also, the stress emphasizes how sorry you are. So I'm really sorry is more powerful, is stronger than I'm really sorry. So depending on the stress you give the word, depending on how sorry you are. Other examples, I'm very sorry. I'm extremely sorry. Or I'm so sorry.
If you want to be a bit more formal, you could say, I apologize. Or if you're very apologetic, you could say, I can't apologize enough.
I can't apologize enough for forgetting to give you the 50 euros I owed you. Please forgive me is another way to apologize. Please forgive me.
Oh, it won't happen again.
I promise it won't happen again. So now it's your turn to practice your English. As you know, we love to hear from you and we love to get your voice messages. So if you have a question or an idea for a future episode on grammar, vocabulary, collocation, pronunciation, anything you like, we're always happy to receive your voice messages at speakpipe.com/English podcast. And thank you for all the voice messages you sent us during the summer. Please keep sending them. It only takes 3 or 4 minutes and we love hearing from you. If you prefer to send us an email with a comment or question, you can reach me, Craig, at inglespodcast.com.
Or me at belfastreza@gmail.com.
And if you'd like more detailed show notes, please join our list of wonderful sponsors at patreon.com/inglespodcast. And our lovely sponsors are Lara, Carlos, Zara, Mamen, Juan, Sara Jarabo, Corey Finneran from IVMV, Manuel, Jorge, Raul, Rafael, Daniel, and Manuel Tarazona. Thank you, everyone, for sponsoring this podcast. Reza, what's on next week's episode?
Next week's episode, which will be 125.
Wow.
Wow, 125.
I can feel my age.
We'll be featuring phrasal verbs with take and get, which was a request we had from a listener called Ivan Ballester. Take and get next week.
Okay.
Anything else, Craig?
Well, I think people should take the opportunity and get listening to next week's podcast. And as promised at the beginning of this episode, let's hear from Monica now from El Blog para Aprender Inglés. So if you've been studying English online for a few years, I'm sure you will know the wonderful blog El Blog para Aprender Inglés by Monica Stocker, which is a blog for Spanish speakers to help them improve their English. And I have Monica here with me today. Hi, Monica.
Hi, Gray.
How are you?
I'm fine, and you?
I'm very well, thank you. Thank you for talking to me on such short notice. Con poca anticipación, I think, in Spanish.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you about your FITA course. Could you explain, please, what it is? Because I think the listeners will be very interested in this course and how it can help them improve their English.
Oh, thanks, Craig, for inviting me. It's a pleasure to talk about the FITA course. And I think I'm very proud of this course, really, because it took a lot of time to create it, but I think the result has been wonderful.
How much time were you working on it?
Was it more than 2 years? At least 2 years. Very intense working with in the videos, the audios, all the material, the test. Well, the FITA course is especially designed for Spanish-speaking students who have been who have the intermediate level that is between a B1 and a B2. Mm-hmm. And they want to be advanced students. So that's like a C1 level. But we all know that's a long way. And sometimes you get desperate because you don't know. The student gets desperate because he doesn't know what to do. So this course, I designed it just thinking and those students thinking, what do they need? What kind of material do they need? So there you're going to find, I hope, the answer to all your questions. Should I watch films with subtitles? What can I read? Should I study grammar? What kind of grammar should I study? So you're going to find an audiobook, lots of listening material, lots of exercises, and especially you're going to see there exactly the structure that you have to follow. No, what kind of things you should study first? What should be your priorities so that you finally become an advanced student?
So it sounds, Monica, like it's a mixture of video and there's support online. Is there a Facebook group or an application or anything?
There's a Facebook group. And, well, the best thing to do is we're launching this course on the 10th of October, and we will launch also an app that includes the course, a free course, a four-day free course, so you can try. It's not exactly the same, but you can at least see what it is. And we also are giving a game with the course, and it's a group game that's going to be very exciting. Because you can play with other people and compete, and it's going to be a real nice thing to do. So if people are interested, please check the website. Just check Blog para Aprender Inglés, because we're going to keep everybody updated there, no? So remember, the 10th of October.
So it's the 10th of October, and people should go to your Blog para Aprender Inglés to sign up. And they can sign up and look at the course for 4 days before they pay.
Yes, it's a free version of the course, a smaller version, so that you can have a feeling of what it's like.
It sounds wonderful. And if anything you do on the internet is anything to go by, I'm sure it's going to be a wonderful course. So if you have intermediate level, don't miss this course. Go to Monica's page and sign up today.
Oh, thank you very much, Gary.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye. The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later.